Hello and a warm welcome to this week's episode of the Blue Toon Podcast. On the show this week is former Peterhead striker Derek Lyle. After a 23-year career, Del decided to hang up his boots at the end of the season, and I was able to catch up with him to discuss, amongst other things, his career and what was next.
What I'd like to say on the podcast this week is a man who has the distinction of playing in four different decades, but has recently decided to hang up the boots after a near 23-year career. Pleased to say with me is Derek Lyle. Derek, how are you?
I'm good, Colin. How are yourself?
I'm not too bad. Thanks for coming on, much appreciated. How was your summer? I guess this is the first summer that you've had in a long time that you know you're not going to have a pre-season to look forward to.
Yeah, but saying that as well, you kind of get away from it. I've been out training every day, mostly just gym work and things like that. So it's, you say you're going to Camden, but I think it's built in here after all that time. So I've still been training away. So not really much has changed, although the pressure of going back at a certain level is not there. But still keep myself ticking over, and I always will probably.
The good habits don't die very quickly, do they?
Yeah, no, I think the people, obviously, if you have a long career, the people, it's still in you, I think. I just kind of get away, even if I go out for a meal and I've not ate well for a couple of days, I feel guilty and I'm back to the gym and it's mad.
Has it sunk in yet that's it, you're not going to be playing again, or do you think that'll come maybe once the season starts?
No, probably once the season starts, but obviously because it's been that long. I think... The worst thing about it is leaving the boy. I think the dressing room's the worst thing. I think we all, the boys, have been involved in that for so long that would be probably the thing I miss the most. Football's great, but when you've played it that long, there's other things you could be doing on a Saturday that you've maybe missed out on. So I don't think it'll be the playing side of it, although I just think it'll be more or less the boys and being involved in that environment.
Yeah, we'll come on to what your plans is coming up later on. But what made you sort of decide now was the time?
To be honest, it was just lack of game time. No really making an impact as such. You're going on and Jim and that's putting you on maybe to see games out rather than me. I used to be maybe a few years ago going on thinking I could get a goal and back myself to get a goal for the bench even, but obviously, in the last couple of years, the goals have kind of dried up and the game time was limited. So, didn't want to maybe get an injury later on. And now I've had a bad injury. Didn't want to go and get an injury and then say, I should have maybe hung them up a year ago, 2 years ago. That was probably part of the reason.
You had kind of thoughts maybe at the tail end of last season, but then I think you got two goals in two games. Maybe just that kind of ignited you a wee bit, did it?
Yeah, Jim was great. Jim just said to me, obviously it was the same, as you just mentioned, it was the same thing. Wasn't playing much, thinking, this is probably a year I'll hang them up. And then he played me, he says, you're going to play the last three games and I score two goals and it gives you a wee buzz again. And you think, maybe I've got another year in me. So that was the reason. Plus, lockdown was horrible for everyone, but it kept us going out and playing. And for the heat, that was massive, I think, for most boys. So that was probably the reason, I know, getting out there and getting out, keeping fit and keeping amongst the boys. It done wonders for you.
Had you any thoughts on retirement at all before last season or this season?
No, I was enjoying it that much. To be fair, only planning up to Peterhead for a year, just thing I ended up saying, was it 3 years or something? Four years.
So, yeah.
4 years, I enjoyed it that much, you know, and people say to me, how can you be bothered with that, travelling up there at your age and things, and I just enjoyed it that much. The boys, Jim and Davey and to be fair, the chairman, everybody about the club was great with me that much that I says, you know what, why stop when they were offering me to stay again? So, and I know it was a travel, but they were good with me, they were great with me. I couldn't thank them enough. They were saying if I needed any time off, and harmless and do whatever, we know you keep yourself fit, go and do that. They were just great with me. So that was, year after year, just taking it year by year, and I ended up staying 4 years. That's how much I enjoyed it.
I guess it's a case of if you're still enjoying it and if the club still wants you, you might as well just carry on.
Yeah, and it's nothing to do with money and that. I've got other side, I could keep myself going, you know, it's no business to do with that. It was just a day where it kept my head in a good place, to be fair. But I don't know, where am I going to go, what am I going to do if I'm not playing football, keep myself fit? I was probably fear and all and a wee bit inside going, what am I going to do, am I going to let myself go? But And the boys were great when we were going up. We were having a laugh up in the bus. But when we trained, we were serious. And when we played, we were serious. And then coming back down in the bus, we had some great times. It was a good bunch we had. So it worked for me. It worked for me probably at the end of my career.
What was your thoughts on last season then? A lot of younger boys this season compared to maybe what you maybe been used to, or Peter Hayes been certainly been used to in the last few years. So how do you think the guys had performed overall?
To be honest, and I think that, I don't know why I'd be too young, I think the boys would even admit, we had a squad there that could have probably tried to get in the playoffs without being disrespectful to anybody. It was just, we had a good run at the end. But if you look at our squad, we had a great squad. We had, you know yourself, we had a wee good patch. We're playing well and we're going to beat 1-0. And it wasn't deserved. And it happened for a good wee bit, and it probably put us outside the playoffs places to get it. We came good at the end and we started getting probably the results that we deserved. And a lot of people say, everybody says that, but we were playing some good football and getting beat with maybe a corner or a set piece. And I think personally we had a squad there that are capable of playoff places. But it wasn't to be. I think that we played better football this year than we did the previous years. Pressing, high tempo, some great goals, some good players came in as well. I just think a wee bit unfortunate at the times. It could have been a better season, but I think we finished it strong.
That run sort of maybe January through to March where it just wasn't happening, you know, there was no goals, no points, nothing happening. Did you find that because of the younger squad, were they affected by that, or were they sort of more determined to keep going?
To be honest, we had a meeting and it wasn't even a crisis meeting. There was nothing to do with we had a meeting. We said, boys, listen, we're playing good football, we're doing everything right, we're coming out of training, good bunch, keep doing it, it'll turn. And it did turn, but it was me but a wee bit too late, because I just felt that the squad that we had, that we could have went on and we could have maybe even challenged for a playoff place, you know, and that wasn't it to be. But no, it wasn't. The boys didn't go into their shell for anything. We just spoke about it and just said, we definitely, if we weren't playing well, we weren't doing the right things we were, and it just wasn't it to be. But we says keep doing it, because the boys really put in the training. When we trained, the boys were really good at training and they looked after ourselves. So I just thought it felt it was a matter of time before it turned.
And for yourself, how was your final season then? As it turned out to be your final season, how would you sum it up?
I could personally know much in it. I think I got one goal. No much for me personally, but as in watching, because Simon Ferry became like the coach, and then I became like taking the striking coach. So to see the boys, the way we were training, putting it into games, and then the gaffer gives you a wee bit, you to say, and he was good with us all. So to see it coming together, it was maybe a coaching kind of thing role for me. It was pleasing. I'm the one for mopping about. I didn't think, oh, I should be playing, I should be doing that. I know I've had my career. I was trying to help boys run about me, strikers especially. So I think it was fine for me. I enjoyed it.
And you mentioned your goal at Queen's Park at Firhill. I think that was before the Tatty Park, as it turned out. So you're still in amongst the goals. You did get the one, but so did that just get a wee lift?
Well, yeah, because I think I've scored in every season that I've played in, and I have a personal thing. That's something that you want to keep going. If you go through a season, you're a striker, even though you're not playing much, you still want to continue scoring in every season. And I managed to do that against Queen's Park. And after that, as I say, I kind of focus more on helping people run about me, the younger ones, the younger strikers. And even if it's just having a wee word in their ear, if they didn't maybe score in a game or missed a couple of chances, doesn't matter. Get back in amongst it, you'll get a goal. Just wee things. So I enjoyed, even though I wasn't playing, I enjoyed my time.
Do you think because of your age, at your latter stage of your career, it's important for you to sort of pass on the right things, the right habits to these younger guys? It might be easier for you just to go, oh, well, I've played my time, I'm nearly worried. But it's how important for you is it to pass on that kind of stuff to them?
Definitely, because I went through it for my career as well. I went through it and I went to different teams, and maybe like just for instance, Big Craig Brewster, I went to Dunfermline. Big Craig Brewster was there and he was a top player and I'm a striker, and he just put his arm around me and he turned me for shooting practice, showed me wee bits and bobs that he's done through his career, and that's massive for myself. I was thinking that's really good of him taking time out to do that with me, and it's just his experience. So I put myself back. I'm experienced now, and there's young ones coming through. If you could help them any way you can, then it's worth it to him, because I still remember him and a lot of people throughout my career. But him, when I went there, I didn't know him, and he put an arm around me and just all the best. And I was in his position as well, you know. I'm in there to try and get into the strength position, and he's still taking time out to show me a wee bit. So I think, yeah, it's massive for young boys. I think they learn from it, but I think it sticks in their head as well that you're trying to help them.
It takes us nicely on to your career then. Your debut way back in 1999, last century, just to make you feel even older.
Well,
as I know, 1999 seems a long time. Obviously, when you're making your debut, you're not going to be thinking about how long your career is going to be. But did you still think you'd still be playing at 40, 41 at that time?
Not a chance, because I was running about. I think football's moved on for then. Sports science and everything that goes with it. Obviously, I came through John Lambie and was old school, and the training was maybe just miles, just running right up hills and things. And obviously now it's sports scientists, it's all monitored and things. So no, did I think I would? I think maybe I would have been happy with 33, 34, but to play as long as I did, I'm actually proud of that. Keep myself as fit as I did to play as long. Obviously, with an injury, probably we'll go into that, but. No, I didn't think I would have played to this age, but I'm obviously proud to it.
Partick Thistle was your first team. You came through the youth ranks there as well, did you?
Yeah, I loved it. I was actually at Kilmarnock, just youth level, and trying to make my way in there and maybe just not getting anywhere, just at the youth level. And it was strange because my dad was at a party with Chip Charlie, Brian Gallagher. Sorry, they were at a party and they were at a house party after it, and I got a phone call saying, listen, my dad always backed me and says you should be playing at a higher level, blah, blah, blah. And I got a phone call saying, be ready tomorrow morning, you're going to Partick for pre-season. And I'm saying, what? So Chick Charlie and that, obviously my dad's boasting me up to them. He's phoned John Lambie. John Lambie says, get the boy in. And that's the kind of guy he was. Get the boy in tomorrow, have a look at him. And that's why it started. Went in the morning, there was nothing to me, I could run all day quite quick, and John Lambie took to me a wee bit, because he used to set me off 10 times, and because I was quite quick, and the rest of the boys, older boys, were like, damn, doing me, man, you know, because I'm away at a whippet. So it was strange the way it happened. I put down the full pre-season, and he signed me into the youths, at Partick Youths, and it really went really quick for me. I went into the youth team, and I scored for fun right away. I started scoring. I had a good youth team, and he pulled me into the first team. Maybe about 6 months to 9 months into that, so it was quite quick for me. And then before I knew it, I was making my debut in the first team.
That must be some part that Chick Charlie was involved in there.
I can only imagine.
Very diplomatic, called on. So your debut, October 99, still at Albion, you go on as a sub.
Yeah.
Andy Walker, I think it was, you subbed off, was it?
Yeah, as I say, it was so real, because you're obviously training at youth level with Morton, then you get the phone call to go in there, and then you're into the first team, and like say Andy Walker played with Celtic and that. It was quite surreal, but at the time you're young, you don't really, nothing phases you, does it? You're fearless. So I took it in my stride, and I just put in everything into it, and I enjoyed that there. I really enjoyed my Partick days, but wasn't getting the game time, obviously young. John Lambie was more like the experienced boys, your Jerry Brittons, Danny Lennons, Alan Moores, just Andy Walker, Paul McGrillan. There was a lot of players there that were older and experienced than me. So I was just a bit part coming on in that noon again, and I think you saw that I probably needed to go out and get more game time. But really, really enjoyed. Really, really, I think John Lambie grounded me probably the way on the day, because it was hard on you. It was fair, hard, but it was a good way to get brought into the football game. A lot of people get moniker old now, and I think he was good for me.
Do you remember your first goal?
Do you know what, Kenny? Do you know what?
I've got it here. It was against Queen of the South, ironically enough.
Oh, what's that?
In a 2-1 win. I think right. It was away from home. So, so it was this far after your debut, you were in amongst the goals.
Yeah, I always felt always felt right away that, but obviously I was quite quick and I was getting in behind and we got chances and I felt a wee bit eager right away. You're obviously young, I would love to score and a professional and that, and probably missed a few, but after the first one went in it and it calmed the nerves and that, I went back myself after that. But I, as I said, loved it at Partick, and the crowd and that were great, great facilities, great pitch. It was good coming through there.
You helped into the Division 2 title as well?
Yeah, as I say, that's memories as well, and I didn't obviously play every game, but it was an experience lifting the title and after parties and things that come with that, and the people, the characters that were in that dressing room, so it was a really good time for me.
You mentioned, touched on it, obviously leaving because you weren't getting enough game time. How did that kind of conversation go then? Was it something that you were looking for more than maybe John Lambie was looking for?
No, I vaguely remember, because a long time ago, I vaguely remember the conversation he pulled me in. And and when I got into the team, I was actually doing quite well, and I had a couple of teams watching me at a higher level, Celtic, and I was doing at Sheffield United on trial and things. So I was really busting to get into the team. So he probably seen that in me, that I was even chatting with Donson, Gaffer, Andy and everything, and I'm coming on, I'm scoring, I'm maybe getting man of the match, I'm back on the bench. So he probably knew, but he's probably done the right thing, keeping my feet in the ground as well. I can see that now that I'm older, but at the time I'm saying I'm desperate to play. I want to go and play. So I think he probably seen that in me, and he pulled me in. And his friend was John Conley at the time, and he was the Queen's manager. And he just says, "Listen, Queen of the South have been on." Maybe it was the goal I scored against them at Queen's as well. I don't know. Maybe he's seen me then. He just said he'd like to take you on loan, and I think it'd be good for you. And I agreed. I said, "Well, if I'm not going to play here, then I want to go and play football." So that's how it came about.
Was that a fairly easy decision for you then, knowing that you're going to be playing week in, week out after that?
It was, Colin, because once you get a taste of it, you need you just want more. It'd be different if I was playing more than that. But once you get a taste of it, you scored goals and you know that you can do it at the level. You just want more of it. So I think it was an easy decision for me just to go out and get game time. Probably in my head, I was thinking I could go back and play at Partick Thistle after that, because I would go out and back myself to do well and go back and play.
Yeah, again, there'll be 6 goals in 13 at your time at Queen's on loan. So obviously, it was a really good spell for you in getting the goals as well.
Yeah, I loved it down there. Probably been one of my luckiest and favourite spells that I've had in the both times I was there. It just happened for me, it worked for me. The fans were good with me, everything about it just worked. And strange as well, because it's when you get down there, it's a different place right up here. And I'd never experienced anything like that. And it was part-time, and I was training at nights, and then we went full-time, kind of a semi-full-time. It was strange, but loved every minute.
You ended up with the Division 2 title there as well, and the League Challenge Cup, I think, the following season as well. So success was going to you pretty easily, was it?
Well, Colin, that's probably, you just mentioned that. I think that's why you enjoy it. Then you wouldn't enjoy it if you only probably won the winning end, you won the scoring. It was happening. I was scoring goals or winning titles, and then we win the cup. So that's probably why you enjoy it more, because you're successful there. And I was doing okay as well, and the boys welcomed me well, and everything about it just worked for me. And it was really a good time for me at that point.
Do you remember much of the final?
See, the first final, was it Broadwood, eh?
Aye, against Brechin.
Yeah, well, I remember all the family went through. Obviously, I'm from up here, and it was just over the road, so all the family came and managed to get a goal that day, and I got man of the match, and Andy Gorham was in goal and that, so I was a big Rangers man. And so as I say, things worked at the right times for me. I just remember it vaguely. I think we were playing Brechin. We won 2-0, I think, and I scored the second goal. And then we went to the after party down at Dumfries, which lasted 2 days. So
there's a theme with parties and you're familiar with the sense of it.
I need to stop it.
So successful time there. I think you had a loan spell as well, though, at Stirling around about 2004. And again, I think you got 10 goals in 19 there as well.
Yeah, that came about because my wee friend, my mate, still a friend to this day, is Alan Moore, which I played with him at Partick, and then he came to Queen's as well. He came to Queen of the South as well, and I don't know if he was in the squad that we won the cup. He might have been, we won the league with him. So anyway, he was there, and he asked me, obviously trained with me and played with me, picked me up to go to training at Partick. So we're quite close, and he asked me to go there and give him a hand, and same again, went there, and it worked as well. Scored a few goals for him, and it was good for me to get back playing again, because I don't know why. I might have had an injury or something coming back and needed game time. I couldn't put my finger on it now, mate, but I went there to help him out, and it went okay for me as well, and got me back on amongst the goals and get sharp again and get fit.
So I think there was maybe a change of manager as well at the time. I think Ian McCall maybe had come in at that time. I mean, about right.
Well, now you mentioned, McCall came in. I did have an injury, but McCall came in, he had his own players. He did pull me in and he said to me, listen, Derek, you're doing the pecking order. You're maybe fifth in the order. I've got five strikers. You're fifth. Coming back for a... I get it now, right? But at the time, I didn't. I'm saying, how's that? You've not given me a chance. I've had an injury, blah, blah, blah. And I says, look, no way, I'll go out and play. And that's how it came about. He had people in front of me, which is fine. I was coming back for an injury. I wasn't fit and really hitting the ground at that time. But that's how it came. You brought it back to me now.
Is that one of those occasions where you mentioned that, because obviously you're still relatively young, you don't really understand it, but you look back on it now and you go, oh, actually, he was at least he was honest with me, and he gave him it straight.
100%. At the time, I was probably saying, I'm going to show him.
Aye.
That went out just because I didn't agree with it at the time. But now, looking back, he's probably right, because if I'm coming back for an injury and he's signed players, if he's come in the door and he's not really, I'm not his player, really, he's not signed me, he's brought players in and I'm just coming back for an injury. I get it now. I get it. And I'm just about to go into, obviously, this coaching side of it, and probably I see it different now that I 100% get it why he's done it. And he actually changed his mind after that. When I come back from there, was that when I went to Dundee?
Yes, sorry.
Mate, when I come back from there, he changed his mind. You know, I was on, he said to me I could go and find a new club, so I went out and played. Obviously done all right. And when I come back, he says to me, look, I want to keep you now, I've changed my mind. And I say, me being me, I says, nah, I'd want to go now. Because I had Dundee at the time, and Alec Ray said to me, I want you to come to Dundee. Dundee were a big club. And he's already said to me, I was doing his pecking order. And I get it now, but at the time I'm saying, look, I can go and play. At the time, Dundee were a bigger club than Queen of the South, let's be honest. So I says, no, I want to go. And it was a wee bit of doing and throwing. Me and my dad had to go down for a meeting and things. Just say, look, you don't want him. Let him go. He's got another club to go.
Yeah.
And that's the way I am. No hard feelings with McCall. Still talk to him. Great guy. But that's how that came about.
It's one of those occasions in life where you've got two paths to go down. It's which one you pick. And then once you've picked that path, that's it. You just got to go for it.
Yeah, 100%. And it was strange as well because I didn't leave him in bad terms, but the next season, I think I scored 4 goals against him. One of these, just every time I played against him, I scored. And he kept going, just looking at me, shaking his head and going, because I've still got, obviously, had pals, Big Jimmy Thompson, all my pals are still at Queens. So I was playing against him scoring, and they're like, you're at it, wee man. You know, so it was just one of these spells. When I was playing against him, I was scoring, and you're thinking, that serves him right for letting me go. But I get it, looking back, it wasn't like that. And it was just me being young and white going through everybody rang. And of course, that's a good thing to be doing as well, going and saying, right, I'm going to show you. But I get there was nothing in it. It was his players, and I was injured coming back, and I just had to go and play football.
You mentioned you thought Dundee, or you felt Dundee was a bigger club. Did you feel the club, the facilities, etc., were better, and it suited you at the time as well?
Yeah, I just felt I hadn't been really up there to see it, but obviously quite afar, I've seen their stadium and their fan base, and they were in the Premier League. I think they were a Premier League club playing in the Championship in my eyes at the time. And Alec Ray, obviously, as I said, I was a Rangers fan, and Alec Ray going up there, he'd been a Rangers man, and that was his first signing. He said, listen, I want you to be my first signing, I'll take you with me. He's from Glasgow, I knew him, I knew about him. It was just an attraction to go up there and see what could happen, who he could bring in and where we could go about and try, because his plans was to try to get into the Premier League. So I'm not saying Queen of the South. I love Queen of the South still to this day, but their ambitions were bigger than Queen of the South at the time.
Successful first season at Dundee.
Loved it. Lucky enough, started scoring quite early. In fact, I think I scored my first game against Clyde, I think. But started scoring quite quickly. Fans tend to me. One thing I think a gee is 100% when I'm on a pitch anyway. So I think if you gee that and it doesn't work for you, then the fans are always going to take to you. I think it's if you don't gee that and it's not working in front of goal, the fans will start not appreciating it. So I gave it everything. And it worked for me the first season. We'd done quite well, and I scored a few goals. So, and I was liking it. The only thing was always for the travel to Dundee every day. We travelled through in a minibus. That was a wee bit hectic, up and down every single day, you know, being full time. But apart from that, as I say, when you're playing and you're scoring goals, you don't feel it as much.
Yeah, there's more pressure on a striker when he joins a new club to sort of hit the ground running, because fans will always just focus on the goals. Whereas maybe if it's a defender or a midfielder, they maybe have a little bit more time to settle in, whereas you just expect a striker to start scoring goals straight away.
Yeah, I do that. But at the same time, I also think that you're there to score goals and you got all the praise. The striker's got all the praise if you win and score goals. So you've got to take it both ways. And if you don't score, then you're going to get a wee bit. But you're going to score the winner and the fans love you. Whereas a defender can go and have a great game, you could have a quiet game, score the winner. The fans are talking about you scoring the winner. So I get everything it's just the way it is, but preferably you go and you start scoring right away and it takes the pressure off you, and that's kind of what happened. But I get it as well. If you're scoring, you take the praise. So if you're not, you've got to take a wee bit of flak.
I think you ended up being the top scorer that season as well. So obviously it ended up being a good move for you at the time.
Yeah, it was, and everything about it, as I said, the goal with Gerald Farrell and Alec Ray and all the boys up there were great, made new friends, the club was big, the fan base was bigger, everything about it, and I thought we could probably get there and get to the Premier League with them. We done the, if it was in that season, the following season, which I think we nearly did it. But I enjoyed it, and the fans tended me. Obviously, we were a wee bit sour near the end, but loved it, loved the first season.
Because you're a kind of spell again would be big decisions, because you ended up signing a pre-contract with Hamilton while you were still at Dundee, and obviously the two still, I think you were still in the same division at the time.
Well, it was a wee bit more, I think there was a wee bit more nasty than that, but what happened was I was in the, they brought Antoine Currie and he brought different players in, and offered, I had been a top goal scorer the season before, and they offered me a deal that wasn't great, just better or less what I was in. So they brought different players and a lot more, own a lot more than me, and just offered me basically the same and just take it or leave it. And I went, hold on, I'm top goal scorer, I deserve it. These boys are away more than me, so I think they thought I was just going to take it. And then I think Hamilton got word that I wasn't maybe not going to sign the deal, and Billy Reid came to see me and says, look, we want you. And at the time it was crazy. At the time there was a point in it. First and second, there was only a point in it. So he said, listen, maybe try and get you in January. If you sign the pre-contract, we'll get you in January. Come to us. And but Dundee weren't they budging on the money that they had offered me, the contract they'd offered me. They never gave me a two-year. They never said, look, there's a wee bit more. They never, to be honest, never made me really feel that they really wanted me that much, because they had brought in other players. And that's fine as well. I get it. And the longer it went on, I signed the pre-contract, Hamilton, but at the time Hamilton had a really good team. McCarthy's, MacArthur, Alec Neil, and they looked strong. And I went, they could actually win this league, and I could end up in the Premier League. So I signed the pre-contract, and then it got leaked to the press, didn't it, that I'd signed a pre-contract. Wow. They said to me they would get me out in January, tried to get me out, and Dundee just never budged. And I get their side of it now and all, because I could have affected them trying to get to the Premier League if I was going and scoring against them maybe for the second half of the season. I get it, but I got pelters off the Dundee fans when it came out. But it wasn't there. See, if they came out and they offered me the contract that I wanted, I would have signed it. It wasn't that. I just felt that they didn't want me enough. Brought their own players in, I went, am I even going to play? Are they going to play their own players that I brought in? So I made the decision to sign the pre-contract, hopefully to get out and go and play there. But they kept me there. And it was a hard, I'll tell you, man, it was a hard 5-6 months. the fans actually were still with me. Some of them were still with me because of one. I don't know if you're good at you know, but we're wounded in Morton, and I think if Morton beat us, the season, the league was nearly over. It was done. And if Hamilton won, and I've come off the bench and scored and kept him in the title, I was getting phone calls for the Hamilton boys saying, "What are you doing?" So, I was doing my part when I came on. I didn't think about Hamilton. I was coming on. If I get a chance, I was trying to score. But once it was mathematically done, oh, they turned on me and it was quite bad.
is that a situation where you'd wish that maybe it had been handled a little bit differently?
Yeah, well. Yeah, if they offer me the contract, I sign it. There's nothing there. But once it's gone on and on and on, Hamilton get winded, they came to see me, and Billy Reid, I knew him, and he looked as if he wanted me. They've said, "Look, we're desperate to get you in, and we've played against you, and I've asked my defenders," and says, "You're one of the most difficult ones I've played against in the league, so we want you to come in." And I says, "Right, okay," and I still waited a bit, and Dundee never really came back with anything, and it wasn't until I'd signed the pre-contract that they says they could maybe do something more for me, but it was done. I wish it did, because Dundee fans then hated me for doing that, and I didn't want to go like that because I really enjoyed the first season there. But I catch football and you just take it in the chin.
So you were the only in the change room celebrating Hamilton going up there, were you?
Good start, by the way. We had to clap Hamilton onto the pitch. The second last game of the season, girl, it's the last game of the season because they were title winners, and I'm standing there. And everybody knows that I've signed the pre-contract. Oh, it couldn't have happened at a worse time, honestly. But at the end of the day, it worked out for the best for me. I went to the Premier League. I went in the Premier League with Hamilton. So I looked at it at that point and went, I wish it happened differently, but I went to the Premier League.
Hamilton, now Premier League. So you've gone through all the divisions. You're now playing Premier League. How pleased were you to be in that division then, playing?
Obviously, for every person, they want to try and play as high as they can, and that was no different for me. I was desperate to try and play in the Premier League, go to your stadiums like Celtic Park, Tynecastle, Rangers. You want to go and even see these and experience playing on them, and I was no different. I was buzzing, obviously, when it went. I was maybe, see if it was Dundee, and I stayed at Dundee, I was wanting them to go up. I was just wanting to be in the Premier League and see if you could do the business in the Premier League and just experience everything I've just mentioned. So absolutely buzzing, going away for the holidays and after the season, and just looking forward to coming back and going into the Premier League with Hamilton.
Was it the toughest kind of time of your career as well at that point?
Yeah, well, what would you mean by injury or?
Looking at maybe the games you've played and the amount of goals that you scored or maybe the lack of goals you scored, was it a tough sort of transition to go from Championship to the Premier League?
Yeah, well, I think more Billy Reid brought me in, and I didn't really know what way he played, but he played with one up top, with two wingers. When I was used to playing with two up top with Dundee, I played with a strike partner at the time, and he played me third or fourth game in, we played at Parkhead, and he played me up front myself. McManus and I think it was Caldwell, two monsters, never get a kick, but we're getting beat 3-0 I think at half time. And ever since then I was out of the team, in the team, playing on the left, wasn't really a striker, wasn't playing with two, didn't really suit my way of playing, you know what I mean? I had played two up front all my career, they played with the two wide men, McCarthy and I'd Offie Young through the middle, don't know who was in the right, can't really remember. But then I became a playing up top myself, wasn't in my game. And then he moved me over to the left, which grew into it, but was strange for me in the start. So I was kind of out for a game, sitting on the bench, coming on. But at the same time as well, I absolutely loved it there, because see the players that, like say McCarthy who went on to do great things in the game, you could see it in them, you could see in training. Our training was probably the best I've had. Their training was 100 mile an hour with quality. And these boys were coming through, and you can tell they were special. Alec Neil, talking even the influence off the park, he would speak every single person through a game. Every single person, whether right back, left back, right to the striker, he would speak to everybody and demand. His standards were unbelievable. And Billy Reid, he was great. So although I'd never get the goals, still enjoyed the time until obviously I got a bad injury.
We'll come on to that. But I just want to ask one more thing about that. Then playing against the players that you've mentioned, the likes of Caldwell and that at Celtic, obviously you would have had equally as good players at Rangers and Aberdeen, Hearts, etc. So for you, playing against these guys, and you were testing yourself against these kind of guys, did you enjoy that as well? Although you maybe wasn't getting as much goals as you would have liked.
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing. You're going to Parkhead and Ibrox, and as I said, I started that game at Parkhead, but just the warming up and the atmosphere, 60,000, and you're thinking, that's why you play football, that's why I wanted to come to the Premier League. You got battered on the day, but it's just because they've got better players than you, they've got more money, they've got, you know what I mean? So it wasn't a disgrace, but that's why you play in the Premier League, to go to stadiums like that, for the full house. It was absolutely amazing, and to see these players up close, it was great.
Right. We mentioned your injury then, the knee ligaments up in September 2009. That ruled you out for the season. At the time of the injury, did you know it was that bad, or did you not really know?
It was really bad. I knew it was really bad because at this time, as we mentioned, I wasn't playing. I had started the season, maybe finding my way into the way they played now, and I had a good pre-season, and Billy Reid says, "No, you're in my team now," and I had played four in the bounds, playing really well, felt as if I was getting stronger, fitter, and realising obviously the way he wanted me to play. And I think it was fifth game into the season, and I'd played most of them, and I just took, it was weird. I think I was running towards Jackie McNamara, and I took a step, and I could see MacArthur running to the blind side of me, and I went to like play it to him, but then took another step, and my foot planted in the turf, and I just heard a snap. Nobody near me, no tackle, no nothing, and it was, the pain was unreal, and I just heard players shouting, "He snapped his leg running about me." So I knew, and the pain obviously, that it was really, really, it was a bad one. So I knew it was bad. I didn't know really how bad it was going to be when they told me what had happened to it, but I knew right away that it was serious.
How did you take the news that that's your season over already, and that's it, you're basically just trying to recover for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, well, it's obviously tough, and a lot of boys went through it now, so I'm not the first, but it's tough because you're thinking, you fought your way through the leagues, as you mentioned, you fought your way from the bottom to the top now, and you're starting to get a run in the team, and then that happens, and you're thinking, there's no many to be. But to be fair, they had a good team run about me again, and everybody was positive, and they put me in the gym, and they got me stronger, and I got back, albeit I lose pace, and maybe for the Premier League, it's what you need, I know, you need pay. So, but they got me back, they gave me a contract. I think it was a 6-month contract when my contract ran out, gave me another 6 months, put me out on loan to get fit again. But I was never the player that obviously they had signed. I was always the quick, and that goes when you do that serious injury to your knee, you don't get, well, I didn't get it back anyway, because it was that serious that I lose a bit of pace with it, and I had to change my game and be more of a link-up player.
So does that kind of change your mentality? Is there a bit of a, I wouldn't say a fear factor, but you're maybe a bit extra cautious in terms of like turning and things like that when you first come back?
Well, you don't think you do, but you do, obviously, in your head. You don't think, you think, oh, I'm at it, I'm doing this, and it's not until maybe you get a crack on it and you think, I'm actually all right. You know, you're thinking when you get a whack, you're kind of a, oh, don't want to go in for this tackle or jump and land a certain way, because that's the way it happened when anybody near me. But I think you've got to be mentally strong as well, because there was times when you're in that gym, you just don't think you're going to get back. And if I'm being serious, and then when you're training again, you're going up and you're thinking, I'm not going to get back to the level of these boys are at.
As you mentioned, they gave you a wee contract to end. So between sort of 2010 and 2012, you played for Morton, Hamilton again, and then Cowdenbeath. That sort of 2-3 years, how would you sort of sum up that kind of point of your career? You sort of dotting about club to club. We almost kind of try to find your feet again, try to find your club again, I guess.
Yeah, I think now looking back, I wasn't really over the injury. You're no over the injury yet. I think that maybe it took me a year and a half. And you think I'm all right now, but looking back at the career in that sense, when I was jumping about from club to club, I don't think I was mentally, I was over it as in as fit as I should be, or I had to change my game. and Tommy Shaw be a link up, and it just wasn't maybe happened yet. I think it must have been that, because I felt all right in myself. I'm thinking I'm all right now. It's not my knee. I don't know, but I was maybe having to change my game now and get to doing something that I wasn't used to. Is I used to go in behind, whereas I had to come short, hold the ball up, and then get in the box, play wide, get in the box, where I was just in the channel. So I think it was a mixture of things that I was maybe changing my game, and wasn't a really early injury.
So you ended up back at Queen's again in 2012. So how did that one come about?
I can't even remember how I ended up back at Queen's. But obviously, in fact, I do. I went in for pre-season with Alan Johnson. I think they get relegated that season. They get relegated down the seasons, and I hadn't set the hell on fire with anywhere where I'd been. So they said to me, come in and see how you are. They obviously know about my injury and that. Come in and see how you are. I mean, I had a good pre-season, gave me a contract, Alan Johnston, and so that's why it came about. I had to go in pre-season and obviously prove my fitness and stuff, got a contract, and that's what went for there.
Did you feel as though that was a happier time again for you? You're back in sort of familiar territory, and you know, in the next sort of 6 years, was maybe the happier time of your career again?
I was thinking, as you said, with strange, it was because nothing really changed with me. Maybe it just clicked at me playing with players again, two up front, the way I like playing. Environment, fans all liked me. It wasn't as if I had to go and improve myself, because I had done it before with them, and the fans knew me, and we clicked again. It was strange, just clicked again. It was probably the happier two spells that I've been in. Looking back on it, even in the last 6 years I was there, it was brilliant. And then you've got the likes of Rangers and Hearts and Hibs in your leagues, and it was really a good league. And then you're scoring against these people again, and you think, I'm the others. Do you know what I mean? I'm back playing the way I should be playing, scoring goals again, and it just clicked for me again.
Yeah, successful again. First season league and league Challenge Cup double. So again, winning trophies as well as scoring goals again for you.
Yeah, it was strange because, you see, I've done the double the first time and then done the double. I'm the only person in the history to do the double twice. So it's mad the way it works, because obviously being away for that long, coming back, they get done the season, first season and back, we won the double. And it's not done to me. It was just that I was in the right place, right time. When I went back there and we had a good team and we done it again, it was mad the way things work out, isn't it? So I loved every minute again, started scoring goals, as you say, won the league again, got back to the championship, won the cup, and it's memories.
Yeah, and you mentioned the double twice, fourth all-time scorer as well for Queens, 365 appearances. It's you just find it that a club suits a person sometimes, doesn't it?
I think it was. Looking back, as I say, it was when I was at my happiest. Didn't go out trying, it was just go out with no fear, just went out to play football, enjoyed my stuff, had good players in about me. And some of the teams, like, see your Rangers and your Hibs, we weren't supposed to beat them, but we were beating them. And we were putting on good performances, though. It was a free hit, if you like, when you're going playing Hibs and Hearts away, and you're playing Rangers. And we were doing really well against these teams. We were well organised, we were well drilled, and we had a good dressing room. So it just clicked for us again. And it was strange that it did the second time as well, because usually going back to a club the second time, it maybe not work out for you. It's happened to a lot of people, but it worked for me.
You got a testimonial as well against Rangers. How proud are you of that, were you?
I was probably the best memory that I've took for the full football, even when I've won, because obviously my family and being there that long, they didn't have to give me it. I was a Broughton 10 years, wasn't it? So I had went away and came back, but the club were excellent. I got two dinners. I won down in Dumfries. I had one on Ibrox, and then I had the game against the Ibrox Rangers legends. And I was to play Rangers team when Mark Warburton was the manager, and he was giving me it. Brilliant for him and David Weir. They said to me, "Listen, Derek, we know you're a Rangers man. We want to give you it. We just kind of give you a date, because obviously playoff things and that." And I says, "That's brilliant, thanks." But it kept going. Obviously, Rangers got closer to the time, and I needed a date, you know. So they couldn't promise me a date, but wanted to give me the game, and I needed a date. So Barry Ferguson stepped in and said, "Listen, I'll get Rangers legends to play. We'll have a good day that way." And Bob Malcolm and things sorted that off for me. So I was more than happy with that. The names that they got to play in it, it was excellent. And understood where Mark Warburton and that was coming from, because they couldn't put a date on it because of playoffs and things. So I get it all. But it was even good that Amy even wanted to give me. He pulled me again at the tunnel one day and just says, listen, man, we know you want to play and we want to get it. We know you're Rangers, man. So, but we just kind of put a date on it right now. But I had to, obviously, the longer it went on, I needed a date and barring that. So it worked out good for us.
At that time, I think you must have been about 37, 36, 37 at the time. So obviously your time at Queen's was coming to an end. Did you have ambitions to carry on after you left the Queen's?
See, to be honest, I didn't really know at that time. I didn't know. I was just thinking about, right, get the testimonial out the way, enjoy that. Get the family were all coming down, and obviously for the fans, I was leaving and had a good day with the fans, and I didn't really know what was coming after that. Maybe it says I'll see how it is after the summer, see what's out there a bit. But if I didn't, by the way, if I retired after that, I'd have been happy as well. But obviously, I got a few offers, and then Jim McAnally.
So how did Jim Marshall persuade you to go from one end of the country to the other then?
Well, I got a phone call off my agent, Tom Callahan, and he says, listen, I'm speaking to Jim McAnally, and I think you would really like him as a person, and that you would really go on with him and at the stage of your career, and you think you'd be ahead. Well, Glasgow, and you've been away to, like, Dumfries, as you said. And I think, Tom, I don't know. And he went, Dale, I would speak to him. He says, he's really keen to get you in. He's busting to get you in. He says, if you would go out, it would take you in a minute, and... he says, I think you should talk to him because he's like you, he's one of the boys and he's honest. And so I had a chat with him and got on with him for the minute I spoke to him, and obviously that's where I ended up. But there was other wee bits and bobs on about, but it just felt right speaking to Jim. And he did say to me, listen, anytime you need off, you can do your own training. See, what I'd done was, for the first year I went into Queen of the South training full time still, because I wanted to keep us fit as I could. So he was letting me in there train with him one night a week, but obviously knew I was going to be fitter than most because I was training most days. So it worked for me. I didn't really have a job during the day, so I was in there training with him, and then obviously involved at the weekend training one day with Peter Head, and involved at the weekend. So it worked for both because I was getting as fit as I could, and I was training down the road. So it worked for me and worked for Peter Head.
Did you not met Jim before, like, or did you just know him by reputation? Maybe.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't meet him. Didn't like have a sit down chat with him. Knew who he was. Obviously played against his teams and stuff, but didn't really know him. But everybody I spoke to had high regards for him. Says, "Yo, you've got on me. I mean, he treats you well. He's honest. Blah blah blah." And pretty the word, he was great for me.
You played with a lot of different strikers in your time, but how does Rory McAllister rate in terms of the guys that you've played with?
Like, Rory, what a man, eh? brilliant as a finisher, goal scorer, strong boy. Obviously could have went higher. I think he's got a good job, and that stopped him for obviously going higher. I think he had a few options of going full time, maybe Aberdeen if I'm right, offered them and stuff, but I think with his job and the Peterhead thing, it wasn't really worth it to him. But could have been was a good top player, but could obviously, if he went higher with the full time training, that could have been a top player.
With a lot of different type of goals as well. It wasn't just a poacher.
Oh, backs himself as well, by the way. Massive head on him. Backs himself massively, didn't he? You would think he was fucking Ronaldinho, wouldn't you? But brilliant. I like that about him. I know he backs himself in every game. And by the way, his goal returns speaks volumes, doesn't it? You can't really argue with him. But good guy as well. When I went in, as I said, I went in as a striker, and I had to offer him right away, as in a character and a man. He was brilliant with me. So, top player and a top guy.
You helped the club to the League 2 title in your first season, and you got 10 goals as well in 33. So, again, another successful kind of period. So, did that maybe just want you to extend that playing career just a little bit further? You know, you said we were only going to be there for a year, but because of the success and the goals that you got, did you think I could maybe push it for another year?
Yeah, I think that's all. I think that was everybody. If I went up there and had a bad season and I didn't do the job, maybe I didn't score a lot of goals or barely any, I think you would go, right, that's me. But I think when you go and you score and you maybe hit double figures again and you're saying, and you've won a title again, you're saying, you can go again. That is just if you're if you're successful, I think you can go again. But on the flip side, if he didn't do it, then it would have probably been the end for me. But going up there, Dane, what you're saying, and I think I could have another year at this end. And in fact, the manager's got to warn you, hasn't he?
Yeah.
The club's got to warn you. And they did. And they took to me right away. I got on with everybody in the club, right across the board. They were all great, managers, assistants, and chairmen and all that. They took to me. So everything worked for me, and they wanted me to stay. So that was the most important thing.
You lifted to the last game of the season, though, doing it harmed and having conceded that really late goal against Stirling in the previous game. So contrasting emotions, shall we say, between the two games?
It was, because you're thinking, I remember this, by the way, very, very well, because my full family had run it. We had the player of the year dance that night, I remember. So we've had the player of the year dance. The full family's come up in a minibus, hired a minibus, went up to have a good night, obviously get promoted, title, and go have the player of the year dancing right out. And it was the last kick of the ball. Could not believe it. We were on the side of the touchline, ready to run on the pitch, and the ball gets played down the line, and somebody cut it back, didn't they? The goal, I think it was Pierre McDonald, was it? No?
Yeah.
Piesel. So, what a downer, because you're thinking, you think the game is done, we've got the title, everybody's up, great day, and if you go into that, the night was spoiled. The night was spoiled, you've got to then go and date the next following day, and you're thinking, what if you don't win it now? And the climax, so it was a bit of a worry, and it was deflated a lot of the boys that night.
I'm still waiting to do my pitch evasion because I was primed ready to go, and then Christ,
we were the same, mate. We were the same. We were right on the side, going right. I sat, and the ball gets played down. You're going, oh no, and it happened. But the most important thing was we're still winning it the next week. Showed character.
Yeah, maybe winning at Hampden, maybe just made it a little bit better. I know winning at home might have been good, but winning at Hampden is something you maybe daddy often.
Yeah, but just as you said, that was a big downer. But if you're going to win it anywhere after that, it's going to be Hampden. There's no other better players to go and do it, and that was the only flip side, that we could go and have a chance to go and win it at Hampden the following week. And the boys had it in their head, right, let's get this done. Yes, because we've came this far, so close, don't be a hard luck story, and they went out and done it that day.
And Jack Leach with a couple of goals, another cracking player, eh?
Yep, brilliant. Always, as a midfielder, always getting forward and adding goals to his game. And he was always a threat, wasn't he? Going forward, he was always a threat. Always in the box. So he done great that day. They got a double, didn't he?
Yes, sorry, got two. Right?
Great player, Jack, and he done great for us that day.
So the celebrations were good that night then?
Oh, madness. I think we ended up back at my pub. I've got a pub in Bishop Briggs, and we ended up back there. Gaffer a lot, chairman, everybody, because we tried to book out somewhere in Hampden. I'm sure we booked one of the suites, and then at the last minute, didn't they give us it? They didn't give us the room. So where do we go? And I said, listen, I've got a pub. Come back here, man. Welcome. I'll just shut the lounge, then it'll just be us. So that's what we've done, and everybody come back, and it was a great night.
It's that kind of things that you don't see in your career very often. So, you know, if you're winning titles and things like that, you've got to enjoy it.
100%, you can't not enjoy it, because there you go, that's my career over, and if I didn't enjoy the times, then I would have been kicking myself now, because they don't come along very much. I've done okay at my level quite a lot, maybe won a couple of titles and that, but people go through the king with better players than me and don't win them, and don't win the cups, and don't get to enjoy them, so you've got to enjoy when you win it.
How difficult a period was the COVID thing, you know, the first lockdown season being curtailed, and then the season where we didn't have fans, and how difficult a period was that for you and for the club?
It really was horrible, and I'm not just, because people lose lives, and I get that, I'm not just saying, I'm not selfish, but it was horrible for everybody, because it was different, winter, nobody knew what was going on, it was just different, as in training, you were separate cars, you were going up, you weren't allowed in the same dressing room, you weren't allowed showers after games, and that's only small things compared to people fondling with the illness, right, we get that, but it was just a strange time in the world, and it wasn't very nice. Football-wise, no crowds, but we were lucky, because we were still getting out to train, still getting to play these games, people weren't getting to do that, so as much as it was strange, we were still lucky, but it wasn't a very nice time in football at all.
Did you get a bit more appreciation once the fans were back then?
oh, amazing, once he comes back. And but what I didn't get is, let me just offer, what I didn't get was you were going to play in a game or going in training and it wouldn't let you get a shower after it. I don't know how that could be better for you, because they were constantly saying to you, wash your hands, be clean, all this carry on, but yeah. But you were going to train, sweating, and travel maybe 3 hours back down the road before a shower. That's the only thing I couldn't get about it. I don't think some of the rules were right, because surely cleaning yourself after it would be better than no cleaning yourself. There was something that was strange. They did, but when the fans come back in, it was a lot better. You appreciate it more.
It's a bit like the again, you've got to be 2 metres distance, and you've got to be away dressing rooms over that side of the stadium and the home dressing room there. But as soon as the game starts, you're man to man marking that corner and things like that. It didn't make sense.
It doesn't, and then a lad, don't celebrate with each other, you just scored the goal. Everybody's tapping each other, isn't it? But something, as I said, I didn't get is that, because you're all training together, you're close together, your contact. But if you score a goal, don't celebrate with each other in big groups and that. Don't get a shower and think, wow, what is this? You know, but it is what it is, and hopefully that's the end of it now. We're out the other side of it, because I didn't think I would ever see a line like that in my lifetime.
Have you got a favourite goal or a favourite moment in your career? I know there's quite a few to choose from, but is there any one in particular that you like to look back on?
Probably just obviously the Rangers thing. We played in the playoffs at Queen of South against Rangers. Playoffs, we met them in the playoffs. We hit fourth and they were third, and I scored in both ties. I scored down at Palmerston, and then we went to Ibrox, full house, 50,000 family up, and we've got season tickets, so they're up there, and I scored to make it 1-0. So I was popular with my own family then. Rangers, we managed to, we won each, I think, and Rangers went through with the away goal. So probably that is a whole, as in scoring them with both legs, full house at Ibrox. I think probably that's the most time I could take for my career, because obviously I was a Rangers fan, and Rangers went through.
So you're celebrating again? Well, you've got that to go.
Well, if we beat them, I've scored, and it's fine. We're through, but if Rangers get through, then it's a team you support. So I was a no lose, wasn't it? So, but it was just the experience of playing against teams like that, and crowds like that. That probably you wouldn't have got the chance if Rangers didn't get put in the division. You probably wouldn't get a chance to do that. So that was special for me.
How did the coaching come about then? How did Jim approach you to start doing that?
McAnally. Mm-hmm. Just when we were near the end, he says, "Del, do you fancy doing a bit of coaching, striker coaching?" And I had done my B licence, and I didn't know if it was actually for me. I'd done the B licence, and I went, "I like this. I don't know if I'm into this." Side of it. And then just taking me drills with the strikers and enjoyed that side of it. Maybe didn't get enough time on the field with COVID and stuff like that to do a lot of it. But when I did do it, I enjoyed it. And then obviously, he asked my opinion a lot. Did you think it? Did you see it? So that side, it made you feel part of it, do you know what I mean? So that he probably maybe changed my mind of maybe getting into it now. Then I didn't think it was for me, but I'm starting to think maybe it is now.
He's got a bit of a track record for getting guys to and like that kind of fire at coaching. You know, like David McCracken's probably the best example in recent years, where he allows them to coach, if you like, and then they take that away and they enjoy it. And I guess you're the same. You never really had any thoughts of needing it for until he approached you.
No, he's really good that way, honestly. He's obviously been there, done everything. He's been at his side, so he didn't really need to go on and shout and ball and do this coaching. So what he does is he lets you do it, and he lets you have a free rein as well. You can go and do, like we say, I was doing it last season, and it was go and do what you want. Go and put a drill on, go and do what you feel. Stop it when you want. You're taking it. So, but he would just step in if he needed to and see his partner. So really, really good, because I know a lot of managers maybe say, "Oh, you're dating my way," but he didn't.
Yeah.
I liked experimenting on that, which you're looking and going, that's brilliant for him, because you don't see a lot of that, you know. He stood in the background, and if you needed help, you asked him, and if he needed to step in, he done it. Same with Davey as well. Davey just let you, if you want to go and do something, go and do it, go and do your own thing. So I really changed your mindset and what you want to be doing, and I think that's now why I'm looking forward to the next chapter.
I think he must have also had that knack of seeing something in somebody and just get them to date, because I think, well, obviously we now know that Jordan's going to be doing it next season as well, and as a player, yeah, kind of coach. So he obviously sees something in these guys to have the trust in them to allow you to date.
Well, do you know, for me, as me and Si and that Nolda boys are vocal in training. As I mean, just when the training starts and you're demanding it, come on, even people running about you, you're like, come on, this isn't good enough. When you know that a drill's not going well or our training's not going as well, you demand it off different people. Maybe that's what he's saying, by the way. You see something in you that way, because I do, and I think it's just as you get older, you start demanding it off younger ones or even older ones running about you, and it's no great, no going great, and you obviously, you're out to train. First and foremost, when you're training, you're 100%. So that's the way I've always been, and Simon was the same. So maybe stuff like that, and he's went, oh, they could be good coaches, or they could do it. I don't know, but it was certainly, we were two of the most vocalist players in the field.
you shock me. so when did you approach Jim and just say, oh, I think this is going to be it, or when did that decision come about?
Well, I didn't really, because I didn't know. There was obviously, we were up till then to see what division we were going to be in.
Yeah.
As in, out of playoffs and things. So it was quite late in the day that we knew we were going to be in that division and things. And nobody had spoke to me, and I'm 41, and I'm saying, right, that's me, you know what I mean? That's me, obviously. No offered me anything yet, but he hadn't offered anybody, I don't think. So I'm thinking that was me anyway. And then it wasn't until right at the end when they said to me, do you fancy staying and maybe being doing a bit of coaching and even playing if you want, or registering as a player? And then obviously Simon had approached me about Broomhall. Obviously he took over at Broomhall and he says, if this goes through, would you fancy coming with us? And it was a wee bit, I said, I'll wait till the end of the season, see what happens. And then I just thought it could be something different down the road. The travelling maybe now, and I wasn't playing as much, but now I could focus on the coaching side of it, and I'm back down the road and things, and my family obviously down here. Not that I like taking up, but it's something different, and it's the unknown and things, and that was my decision just to get a go here.
So that's where you're at now. You're going to Broomhall with Simon. Was that an easier decision as you make it out there, because it would be Simon, or is it still that kind of difficult decision of, you know, you're leaving something that you know of?
Very difficult, because obviously the respect I have for Jim and the fans up at Peterhead were great. Even at my age, they were brilliant with me. I think they just seen that I did everything on the pitch, and they took to me so that, and hey, I wasn't playing a lot, I wasn't scoring a lot, but they still taking to me. And obviously with Jim and Davey in the background and all the boys were great to me. So it's always hard. I hate moving on. It's just because I've got a bond with, I seem to have a bond with people around about me, and so it's difficult to do that. But the gaffer did text me and just says, listen, Dale, I'm just glad that you're staying in the game. I was worried that you were going to go to the game. With the amount of experience you've had in it, I was wanting you to stay in the game. So as long as you're staying in the game, we'll come down and we'll get something to eat that together. So we're going to do that. So that made it easier. Do you know what I mean? Whereas,
yeah,
it would have been harder if he maybe wanted me to do that or wanted me to stay at PA. But he was just happy that I was staying in football. And he says, brilliant, I'm glad you're staying in football, and we'll catch up soon. So it made it easier for me.
How would you say,
as I said, Peterhead's always going to do well. I've got to do it at the helm, so it's just something different. It's something that nobody knows that could go as big as, or you know, it could kick off because of the open goal thing and all. So it was a wee bit exciting going like, off something different, you know. So that was all it was, but it was hard to leave Peterhead. But Jim made it easier for me. We're obviously saying, listen, I'm just glad you're staying in football, so appreciate it.
How would you sum up your time at Peterhead then?
Absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved the place. The fans great. The manager, assistant, and everybody from top to bottom were absolutely brilliant. There was no negative I could get, obviously, and I'm just glad. My main worry was at the end up, we won the game we deserved, and we kind of went down. And I'm thinking, my last year up there, it's the last thing you want is to go down. So to get them to be there, be safe, and go and be hangman, I'm absolutely delighted with it, and I'm glad I went. I chose Peterhead 4 years ago, and I'm glad I stayed for the 4 years.
Hypothetical question, but if it had been in any other club, do you think you'd have lasted the 4 years?
Probably not. Probably it was, I always say this, people are saying, Dale, how can you, even my pals that are still like, how can you travel up there at your age and that? I says, listen, I think it's better than now that I'm at this age. It's, I don't know what it is, but it's probably came at the best time in my career, at the end of my career, and having the, going up there and experience something different, having the carry on the bus and the way back, don't you get a good result, you're having a beer on the bus, and great times we've had out of the 4 years. We won the trophy and that, so it's been good times for me. It wasn't bad. I've not had any bad times. And I got relegated, had good players, met good people. It's just been all good.
So that's you mentioned the new venture. Are you looking forward to the new chapter of your career now then?
Yeah, I really am, and obviously I'm not going to lie as well, a wee bit nervous, because I've never, I think that's why I played so long, because I put the coaching to the one side, never thought about coaching. I think once you do two of them, it's hard. So I said, I'm just going to concentrate on my football training, playing football, training, playing football, and that's what I've done. I think that's why I lasted so long, and now it's concentrating on the other side now, and I'm a wee, it's a wee bit nervy, but exciting at the same time. So buzzing for it. And hopefully it goes well for us. But we'll put everything in there, put it that way. We'll get our best shot, and that's all you can do, isn't it?
Do you see yourself going into management, or do you think it'll just be a coach?
I don't really know. It will depend on how this goes and how I enjoy it. And obviously, I've not tasted it before. So when you go in and you get a feel for it, maybe you'll say, oh, I see myself as a coach, or maybe you say, I fancy that. The other side, I don't know. I'm actually just going in here. I'm just going to get a good go and see where we go.
Well, Derek, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Spoken to you a couple of times during your time at the club, and as always, it was good to talk to you. So I wish you well with the new venture, and I hope you and Simon do well doing it. Doing well.
Thanks, Colin.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Take care, mate. Take care.
Big thanks to Derek Lyle for coming on to the podcast, and we wish him well for the future. Thank you to you guys for listening as always. We'll be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you again. Cheers.